This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media. Just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Hello.
Oh, good evening to you and to all that are here.
You too. Hold on. Hey, 403.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
Is this Bill tonight?
Yeah.
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, Nora.
Hey. Yeah, Bill spent some issues, and he's at the hospital with her. Been there for the last 3 days, and they're making some decisions. So all I ask is that you guys keep him in your prayers.
Bill's in the hospital. There.
No, Bill's not in the hospital. Bill's wife is.
Oh no.
Yeah, she's been having some issues for the last couple weeks. So.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Well, we'll be praying for her, buddy.
Okay.
No
Appreciate
problem.
That.
You betcha.
And then we have Art and Kitty Cat. I'd like to say hello to those guys. Thanks for joining us. And tonight's topic, one of the topics is going to be rules of engagement. And it's basically one thing I hope that everybody realizes is that the cops can and do lie. Fucked up. As soon as I mention them, here they come. So, what it is like I said, I want everyone to realize that they do lie. I mean, I've been in situations with people that I've helped, and the cops have gotten caught lying, and they didn't like it too much in the courtroom when they get caught lying. But,
no, that's for sure.
And even sometimes, despite your best efforts, the cops are going to get involved no matter what it is. Because somebody out with all the cell phones and cameras and shit, somebody always has to either call or take a picture.
Like in the state of Illinois, if you feel that somebody is, they advertise here, if you feel that somebody is driving intoxicated or anything, they will pay you $100 to call in and let them know, and as long as the conviction sits, that it sticks,
right.
They give you $100 for telling.
Oh.
I wonder how true that is.
No, maybe, it's like out in California, they just say, I'll dial 911 and give them the license plate number.
Right.
But.
But if they have a conviction, then they will come back to you here, and you get $100 for convicting a person that was driving under the influence.
Yeah, but you're not a rat, are you?
No.
Yeah, we have that in Canada as well.
New.
Yeah, it's called Crime Stoppers.
I deal with them on a nice basis if I have to,
right.
Which is, how do you do? What can I do for you? Okay, we're done. Other than that, no.
Yeah, it's sometimes if you felt that your situation warranted their involvement, or maybe they just showed up, but they're involved, and they're not gonna just go away. So you're fucked either way now.
Exactly. If somebody makes a phone call and they come to the home, they're here.
Mm-hmm.
Until they figure out or they feel that everything is fine. And it doesn't matter. I don't need you. It's okay. I don't know why somebody called you, but we have to be here.
Yeah. Well, it's like a few years ago, and I'm reading off a cheat sheet here, but a few years ago I would have said that in the first rule of dealing with the cops is to remain calm, keep you cool, and don't lose your temper. Now that's rule number two.
Right.
The ability of recording devices that we all carry around in our pockets, i.e. cell phones. The first rule when dealing with the police is to record everything. If you're in a public place, the police they have no expectation of privacy to record them except Illinois. You have to tell them.
Right.
Check your, yeah, but like I say, like I've always said, check your state and local laws, because what happens on the West Coast might not happen on the East Coast or the Midwest. Everybody's
right.
Different. So, you know, you're allowed to record, but you got to tell, in Illinois, you got to tell them.
Yeah, you
right.
got to warn them that they're being recorded.
Because well,
it wouldn't be
admissible.
It wouldn't be admissible in court.
Right,
but some
things you cannot record. Some things they will not allow you to record.
Right. Well, the basically the three things you can't record them doing is one, walking into their house, taking a piss, being undercover. Those are the three main ones. That's it. Anything else is bullshit. And it's thank you, Art. But like I said, John in New Jersey, who's just joined us, he says, tell me cops don't lie, say it isn't so. Well, it is so. The article I'm reading, Art knows the article, and I got it off of agingrebel.com, and it's, the police will tell you you can't record, but they all know that they're going to lie to you. If you can, have your recording streamed to one of the several online services available. That's even better. Like, I seen a guy today, five San Diego PD showed up at my work today looking for one guy, but people were filming him. And they told him they were going to film him, and then they put it on YouTube, is my understanding. I haven't checked it out yet, but one of the guys was going to send me the link when he got to his house. But basically, it's obviously the video and the audio are better than just the audio, so, you know, be careful what you get and how you get it. And then the second rule is to stay calm. Don't let them make you lose your temper. No matter how right you are, losing your temper is likely to result in you getting cuffed, pepper sprayed, beat, shot, or arrested, or some combination of all of those. So don't let them yell at you or swear at them, give them the finger, or provoke them. Treat them as you would a business client you don't like.
Yeah, because you're just feeding the demon if you start swearing and shit at them, because now they see you as prey and they will pounce on you very quickly.
Yeah, and basically at that point you're fucked, because now because you became the aggressor before they did.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know. So it's not to say that in order to avoid the arrest, but you need to, you know, you don't need to compromise anything. But if you do end up being caged, there's a better likelihood that your arrest for contempt of cop will not result in any charges sticking if you substantiate a claim of not guilty or disorderly conduct, which is usually just contempt of cop. So remaining calm and being peaceful is no guarantee that you're going to be a victim of abuse. However, you're more likely to prevail if you don't act out of anger. It's true. I seen a guy about a month and a half ago tell him, hey, go fuck yourself. And after he got taken to the ground and handcuffed and thrown in the back of the car, the guy said, no, now you can go fuck yourself because you're going to jail. So it's like I said, you know. And then the third rule is never talk to him, period.
Exactly.
You should never say anything to them that is not absolutely required by law. It's never in your best interest to give them any information. Rather than explain further, I would like to insist that you watch part one and two of this video, which I'll put the links up in the. Nora, can you put the links up for me?
Give me one quick second.
Okay. But it's like the one video. I'll tell you right now, it's about 48 minutes and 40 seconds. That's the lawyer explaining all your rights to you, and then the other one is the cop that explains his side of the story.
And then, in a lot of cases, it's just common knowledge, but it's amazing that a lot of people out there don't know their rights and what they should do in a little situation like that. It's not a major deal, but if you don't know how to act around a cop that's trying to piss you off, it blow up right in your face.
Yeah. You know, and without and basically, without a recording, it's your word against theirs, and nine times out of ten.
Yeah, hearsay in court. Yeah, that's right.
You're going to get jammed.
You betcha.
And the fourth rule is never consent to a search. It doesn't matter if you have anything to hide or not. Refusing to consent in court after court is ruled that refusing a search is not probable cause for a search. So if the cops tell you to empty pockets, ask if you're being detained. If you're not, are you free to go or just walk away? Unless I'm mistaken, you're never required to empty your pockets, although if they place you under arrest, they might empty them for you. The point is, consenting to a search only opens up you for more trouble. The cops reading this, of course, will tell you that if you have nothing to hide, consenting to the search only helps the process, removes suspicion, and moves them on their way faster. But it's bullshit. Remember that I told you in the beginning of this, they lie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't consent to a search, you know, it's just like, if you don't consent to the search, they're going to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or signal them. That means they found something. So, you know, you might have one seed in your fucking carpet 10 months ago, and that, you know, that dog's going to alert to that one seed in your house.
Phil, how strong are they with the line of probable cause in the States?
How far?
Yeah. Do they use that against you a lot, the cops? Like, say, if you refuse to empty your pockets, they ask you, real nice, can you empty your pockets, please? You say no. Then they turn around and look at you and go, oh, probable cause. You got a reason not to empty your pockets? Then they go right through everything. And they can use that against you. They do that in Canada all the time.
Well,
and that's what it's called, probable cause.
Well,
They
put me on the hood of the car. Well, they asked me, put my hands in the car, so I did. The guy started searching me, and I, the whole time, I do not consent to this, I do not consent to this, da-da-da-da. And I wish I had the CD. My attorney friends got it. He's using it as a teaching tool. But when the guy took my knife out of my pocket, I asked him for a receipt, and he threw it on the hood and told me don't touch it, but I can get it when they're done. But, yeah, you know, and then, you know, they're going to say they're going to search your car claiming probable cause. So they do this just to harass you and waste your time.
Right.
If they're going to waste your time, you can waste theirs by demanding that a supervisor comes to the scene, which is what I always say. If it turns in the first 30 to 45 seconds, you know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
You can tell. And if it's going south quick, that's when you shut up and ask for a supervisor. 10 out of 10, depending on those guys, it's just a bullshit stop, and they know they're going to get in trouble from the guy, the supervisor, when he shows up. They'll tell you to go on your way. Pick
right.
up your shit. But if not, and you wait for that guy, they're going to, that guy's not going to come and talk to you first. Okay? That guy's going to go talk to whichever one approaches him first, and I have it on tape of a guy saying that I belong to a particular club. I was downtown. I was recruiting all kinds of shit, and it got proven wrong. And the guy got taken off his bike for a week, off the motorbike for a week.
Yeah, with pay.
No pay.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. And then the other six guys, they all joined in together. And all seven of them got taken off their bikes, and they all lost $832.56 apiece. That's why one of the reasons they love me.
Yeah, I bet.
Because they got paid to take care of the bike on the weekend.
They're just love for different reasons.
If they would have acted like a bunch of fucking pigs, everything would have been all right.
So it's just love for different reasons, because they just enjoy him so much.
Yeah.
Well, you're not the only one on the shit list, though, Phil. That's the thing, eh?
Yeah, well, I mean, how stupid, okay, here. Bill's doing 37 miles an hour. they pull him over, lights and sirens and everything, to tell him that he's going 37 miles an hour. So Bill said, well, then give me my ticket and I'll be on my way. And the guy said, no, we just wanted to let you know that you were doing 37 and 35.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
A week later, the same fucking guy, I was doing 36 and a 35, going downhill. Same thing. Watch my speed.
And they literally pulled him over to tell him this.
Me too.
Unfucking real.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about fucking harassment. Yeah.
But when the supervisor shows up, when you do that, well, when you ask for him to come, when you do this, supervisor must come and cannot leave until that time. And they cannot leave until that time. So basically, like I said, they're gonna hit, he's going to hit them up first, and then he's going to talk to you.
Yeah. So you guys are lucky that way. You guys got supervisors. We don't have that out here. The highest ranking officer.
Well, don't you guys just have the county mounties or what?
Well,
you
got
the
RCMPs, yeah, the RCMPs, and the highest ranking officer is a sergeant. So what are you going to do? Tell a cop to get another cop? You know. So if they put you in a loophole, you're putting your head in the fucking noose by calling another cop. Now you got two against you. Well, two cops in the fucking courtroom against you. You're going to lose. It doesn't matter if you're in the right or in the wrong or sitting right in the middle. It doesn't matter. You know, the less cops, the better. Fuck. So you're pretty well fucked. That's, you know, Bill mentioned that on the last show. I don't like riding in Canada. I get this uncomfortable feeling. Well, yeah, it's definitely in the air. You know, if you're from America or me going to the States, they're going to look at me. I got Canadian plates on, long hair, whatever. They might not know me, of course. And then... might be an easy target for them. Maybe Bill fell into that little category at one time or another, obviously. He must have, because I've never, ever heard anybody say, I feel uncomfortable riding in Canada. That's the first brother that's ever said that to me.
Well,
it threw me
I guess there's a guy here out of Boston. His name is, he goes by the Crazy Russian. But what he says is... the mounted police in Canada work for Satan.
Not close, or not too far from it, no.
Yeah. And the other side, Kat says they're definitely assholes. And John tells me my membership card is in the mail.
There you
go. Good call.
Okay, we're covered.
Yeah. Here, let me get back to this, though, because these are the...
Yeah, let's get back
to
this, because it's very interesting, you know, and a lot of people aren't aware, and, of course, that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've listed all the videos in the chat, so that's why, as you're listening, you know, anybody can go and look at the videos as we go along.
So the fifth rule is leave as soon as possible. Even if you're being detained, if you are not, leave. Also familiarize yourself with the terrorist stop rules. The longer you stick around, the higher the probability that you will be the victim of some police misconduct, even if you are the one that called them. The sixth rule is never let them in your house without a warrant. In fact, without a warrant, you're not even required to open the door or say anything to them all. Just tell them you have nothing to say and that you would prefer that they leave. Once you invite them in, you have opened your home to a search. So basically, don't open the door. Talk to them through the door. They're going to say, oh, well, they see the lights, they hear the TV on, and they're going to keep banging on the door. As long as you're on the other side saying, I'm not letting you in, I want you to leave. Unless somebody called them from inside your house and said that they're under the threat of harm, they're going to break the door in. Other than that, they won't. Well, I won't say that they won't. They might, but... If that's the case, then you dial 911 and tell them somebody's breaking into your house.
Well, you know, there's something that took place here, even though it was years back, but it's something interesting for people to hear. A neighbor of mine was alone in his home. The neighbor just didn't like him. Called 911, said there is a domestic disturbance at my neighbor's residence. And so it was a regular... cop and a rookie that showed up on the scene. And here he comes, he just gotten out of the shower, and, well, we're here on a call. And he's like, what call? There's nobody here, you know. And it was actually the third place. It was amazing. The rookie pushed his way in to enter into my neighbor's home, stating, "We are here on a domestic call. We need to search." And he goes, "Oh, no, you're not." Now, once the rookie cop entered into my neighbor's home, my neighbor proceeded to beat his rear beyond crazy, okay? There wasn't anything that could be done because he forced himself into a home without having...
Well, the other thing, too, is, Nora, is don't go outside. Don't fall into that trap when they say, "Well, can you step outside so we can talk to you for a minute?" Because as soon as you walk out the door, boom, you're going to get handcuffed.
That's right. Yeah.
So, number...
Like I said, it's just amazing how things take place, you know, and how some of them, they don't understand their own position and what they should or shouldn't do, you know.
Yeah.
But they push the limits just to see how far they can go, you know.
Yeah. Because the seventh and the last rule is, well, hang on. I mean, so we have Susie listening from Atwater, California. But the seventh and the last rule is know your rights. The more you know your rights and assert them calmly with the police, the more likely they are to leave you alone. Because most of them are, and they pick on the weak, frightened and usually intimidated people. Don't be one of them. Stay in tune with the cop, you know. And this is, it's called copblock.org, which I'll put that up in the chat room. But there's a lot of good things on there, and it's actually one of the places you can post your experiences with law enforcement. And there's other sources to report police misconduct and your civil liberties, which, like I said, if you send in a public service request asking what their policy and procedures are, they have 10 days to answer you. If they don't answer you, you can send the same letter with a caption on it saying that you asked your state or local police department what was going on, and they never answered you, and the FBI will check into it and make sure you get an answer. If they don't after 10 days, then you send a letter to the Department of Justice under the heading of police misconduct, and I guarantee somebody will come and talk to you. Because a lot of rules don't apply to them. They apply to any government agent that decides to interfere with your life. If Child Protective Services comes to your door and demands to speak to your children or inspect them, your home, tell them they have to leave unless they have a warrant. In fact, feel free to be a little more rude to them than the cops since they don't have arrest powers. That's one of the situations where you tell them, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, true enough. They like to push, they like to exercise rights that they don't have. Like you say, intimidated people. It's not necessarily an intimidated person, I don't think. It's just an ignorant person that doesn't know.
Well, I wouldn't say ignorant. You know, I mean, we'd have to rephrase that because not everybody does understand a lot.
That's what ignorant means. It's not understanding. That's all that means, ignorant. Yeah.
Right.
It's not knowing your basic laws that everybody, you know, they should teach that in school. You know, they do in Canada as we grew up. You were entitled to, you know, the cops would show up when you were a little kid in grade school and they'd start.
Always trust the police officers. We're here to help.
Well, you know, in a lot of cases when you're a child, you look at a cop with big eyes and you kind of hope that it's true. And then next thing you know, you're on the streets growing up and realizing, you know, this is illegal. This is the way to do things. This is the illegal way of doing things. Now you're growing up, so you're testing the waters, and now you realize they've been fucking lying to you all this time because they're not there to help you whatsoever, you know.
Right.
You know, in a lot of cases they would, but in most cases, like Bill would say or Phil or anybody else, no, they would rather shank you in the back than to fucking help you 90% of the time, depending on the situation, of course.
Right.
Right, and John from New Jersey is getting ahead of me, but there is a color of law abuse thing. It's on my blog. I put the link in there for Bikers America, blogspot.com. But if you go in there and you sign in and you type up in the search box, just type in color of law and it'll come up.
Okay.
So it's like I said, there's a lot of interesting stuff on there, and 53,000 people a day can't be wrong.
No, I agree with you.
So, I mean, we cracked 40 about 6 months ago, and then we cracked 50 2 weeks ago, and now we're probably going to crack 55 by the end of March.
Well, it's not going to decline. It's definitely going to go up.
Okay. So basically, to paraphrase a common biker saying, there are two kinds of people: those who've been arrested and those who will be. So it's like anything else, you know. Don't talk to them.
Exactly. You wouldn't invite him into the house for fucking supper now, would you?
No.
No.
It's like one thing I hope that, and I'm going to tell you again, one thing I hope that everyone realizes is cops can and do lie. I can tell you he's investigating a fictitious murder in Slingshot, North Carolina, when they really want you to admit being bumfuck Tennessee on a particular night. So sometimes they just want you to add a piece of the puzzle they don't even know exists. You don't even know exists. So don't fall for that one either.
It's like
when I get asked, where am I going? Point A. Where are you coming from? Point B. You're not going to tell me anything? I don't have to.
Exactly. Yeah, I just left my brother's place. I had a big party there. I'm just going home right now. I'm going to stop at 7-Eleven first. Like, what the fuck? Don't tell them nothing.
No. No. Because as soon as you open your mouth, they know how smart you are.
Exactly. Keep your mouth shut and they don't know how fucking smart you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's easier. Or you can be like me. There are times when I was asked something, I had no idea. Really?
You get away with that one?
Yes, I
do.
Well,
you know, there's yep.
That's a good one. Yeah.
No, I'm serious because, you know, if I was ever asked something, it's like, or if they ask a question, I have no idea what you're talking about. Can you please explain? And when they do, it's like, I'm sorry, I've never been in trouble, so I don't understand what you're talking about. And so being stupid sometimes can actually work.
Oh, I'm sure it probably does, yeah.
I don't mean stupid in a bad way.
Yeah.
But even if I would know, I, you know, just perceiving it to be, I'm sorry, I have no idea. You know,
yeah.
Can you explain? And when they do, it's just funny.
Yeah, like myself and the brothers, man, we just have an automatic fucking mute button. As soon as a cop asks you a question, it fucking switches on. That's it. You forget how to speak.
Yeah.
Right. Well, like I said, you know, I just go into, like, I'm in dumb blonde mode, and it seems to work.
Right into the Nora mode, eh?
Exactly. Thank you.
Oh, you're a doll.
Well,
you know,
there,
like
buddy.
I said, unfortunately, I live in a small town, which is a mile radius to the west, a mile radius to the east, a half a mile to the north, and a half a mile to the south. So it's not a big town that I'm in. And so everybody knows everybody, kind of, sort of, you know. And so the officers here, they know I've never caused any grief. So if they ever come to ask me something, it's like, okay, you know, and they're just happy campers at that, and they walk away.
Yeah.
All right, well, how would you like to be, like Art says too, Austria, it can be held against you.
Well, yeah, no, I do understand that, but Australia is also, they are really lacking down on so much, you know, in Australia. It's, I don't know if that's going to ever come to the States, but the way they're buckling down there, it's insane. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because...
Art, that was a good point.
And basically, it's called deprivation of rights under cover of law statute. It's on the FBI site for info.
Right.
You know, and then and you could also file a report with your local FBI office. But under Title 42, Section, United States Code, Section 1997, the Department of Justice has the ability to initiate civil actions against hospitals, jails, prisons, nursing homes, and juvenile detention facilities where there are allegations of systematic deprivation of constitutional rights for institutionalized persons. So there's a whole bunch. There's lack of supervision, monitoring of officers' actions, lack of justification or reporting by officers on incidents involving the use of force, lack of improper training of the officers, and the citizen complaint process that treats complaints as adversaries. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there, man.
Yeah. So that basically covers all civil servants in a sense.
Right.
Correct.
Art just brought up that the cops don't like that, Phil.
Well, of course they don't.
Obviously. But yeah. I just figured I would point that out.
Yeah, or they lose the tape. Or they lose the tape, and then a public service request asking them for a copy of the tape that they made that night, and they send you the original, and when they go to court, they don't have a copy and want to ask you for it. And basically I said, no, you can't have it. They sent me the original copy instead of the copy.
And they wanted you to produce it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm going to fight myself in court here.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Well, they lose things more than we do, so obviously we know.
Yeah. It's just like if they roll, you know, like John says, if they roll up to you in a squad car, ask them to put on their dash cam and record the stop, they'll probably move on. Or in John's case, the two clowns that grabbed him, the next thing you know, they turned off John's camera. He was on a couple of weeks ago talking about that.
Right, that was so unbelievable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the poor guy was walking. It's not like he... You know, it's not like he was out there in the middle of the street jaywalking or something, you know.
No.
But even so, they can still get you for jaywalking, which is crazy enough as it is, but you're just walking down the sidewalk minding your own business, and the next thing you know, everybody's rolling up on you, and it's like, okay, now what? What?
Yeah, well, it's like I told you guys before. If you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Stand up straight, man.
Exactly. And I just put that color law abuses. I posted it on tomorrow's blog page. It'll be about the third or fourth sound. But it's crazy. But I hope everybody understands the rules of engagement. If you send me an email, I'll send you a copy of it. And then what was the other one, Norm? Besides that one I had about freedom, says check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
And what this is, when I say check it out, it's on today's page. But it's getting to where everybody's worried about the increasing trend of criminalizing everything in the United States and around the world. So while many laws are necessary, life is becoming so regulated that almost every human is doing something illegal. How can anybody obey the law if everything is illegal? So banning every activity doesn't make people respect the law more. Americans like to say they love freedom, but there are few freedoms left in the U.S. The government is tightening the noose to strangle all Americans with an ever-increasing nanny state laws, so much that the U.S. is starting to look like North Korea.
Yeah, pretty much like that, or what Russia used to be.
Yeah, because they like, number one is fast food restaurants have been banned. Number two is feeding the homeless has become a crime. Number three, sex tourism has been outlawed. Sex offenders have been required to register with the police and are forbidden from living near schools and parks.
Because now where I'm at, I don't know how many sex offenders, registered sex offenders you have in your town, okay? What I have here, now there is a registered sex offender for under the age of 18. Now, they are not to be anywhere near school zones, you know, let alone schools as well. Where the bus stop is for the high school, you know, it's like you walk, he can walk right outside of his apartment building and the bus stop is right there.
Right.
But yet they don't do anything. You know why? Because it's not a school zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, fine print that law.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, there's another one where they can be held for life under indefinite civil commitment laws, even after they complete their original sentences.
Right.
And then, you know, the number 10 would be drug users have been banned from receiving welfare or student aid. Number 11 is the U.S. Constitution has been overruled by the Patriot Act and that has legalized wiretaps without warrant and allows the government to deport and strip any American of his or her citizenship.
Right.
And, let me touch on something that I put up today on the blog. I'm going to go out of this one and I'll go to that. But what I want you guys to understand is, this came out the 25th. But what happened in the United States was the Supreme Court, the FBI turns off the thousands of GPS devices after Supreme Court ruling. Supreme Court recent ruling overturning the warrantless search of GPS tracking devices has caused a sea change inside the U.S. Justice Department, according to the FBI. The general counsel, his name is Andrew Weissman. Speaking at the University of San Francisco conference called Big Brother in the 21st Century on last Friday, he said in the court ruling prompted the FBI to turn off about 3,000 GPS tracking devices that were in use. Those devices were stuck underneath cars to track the movements of the car owners. In the U.S. versus Jones, the Supreme Court ruled that using a device to track a car owner without a search warrant violated the law. After the ruling, the FBI had a problem collecting devices that it had turned off. Mr. Weissman said, in some cases, he said, the FBI sought court orders to obtain permission to turn the devices on briefly, only in order to locate and retrieve them. He said, the FBI is now working to develop new guidelines for the use of the GPS devices. He said, the agency is also working on guidelines to cover the broader implications of the court decision beyond GPS devices. He said, for instance, the agency is now wrestling with the legality of whether agents can lift up the lid of a trash can without committing trespass. The majority of U.S. versus Jones held that the agents had trespassed when placing a GPS device under a car without a warrant. They also said the agency is considering the implications of concurring justices whose arguments were largely based on the idea that a person has a reasonable expectation of privacy in the totality of their movements, even if those movements are public. From a law enforcement perspective, even though it's technically to anticipate how it's going to go down the road, this guy said, Weissman. So, yeah, I mean.
Well, but see, a lot of people don't realize when they purchase a brand new vehicle, the GPS trackers are already on vehicles. We know this.
They are.
A lot of people don't know where they're placed at.
They also,
they're placed in a lot of vehicles is in the trunk. Inside the, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Passenger seat or under the driver's seat. Every car since the middle 80s, I think, if I'm not mistaken, has had a computer in it.
Right.
It's like if you had an accident, they download that computer and find out you were the one speeding, not the guy that hit you.
Right.
And then the other one I was going to talk about tonight was you have to show a cop an ID. Your car. So, let's see. Like, you legally have to produce an ID if the cop asks for it. How can you legally refuse to search your car? We get the answers. So, with this guy, this is an attorney right here. I'm going to let him tell you how to do it.
LCL Report is looking for advertisers. Do you have a product, service, candidate? There's nothing I won't.
It's going to be a YouTube thing?
Yeah.
Nice.
Hi, welcome to LCL Report. This is Jaron Lupo reporting. Clarifications of some laws. I went to Georgia attorney Alan Lowe, the civil rights attorney, to have him straighten out a couple things. This next law we're going to be talking about is the situation that just happened with the Motorhome Diary fellas. show an ID to a police officer? When do you have to show an ID? You don't know what happened. These three guys were three activists. They go around basically in a motorhome around the country. They get pulled over in Mississippi because they have a temporary tag. The cop checks the tag. Everything comes back fine, and he's got the driver out. He says, I want to see the other two people. After everything's been checked out, fine. The other two people come out, and he asks one of them for an ID. The person says, why do you need my ID? I'm just a passenger, and we've checked out. He says, I want to see your ID. And he goes, what probable cause do you have? The next thing you know, the cop gets ticked off, puts him in a chokehold, maces him in the face, and stuffs him in the cop car, and they go, and all three get arrested. So, I want to find out, because there's this misconception, I think, and this unclarification of, do you have to give an ID if a cop asks for one? Everybody seems to think you have to. I'm not really sure, so I'm going to let Alan Lowe answer it.
All right, Counselor Lowe, do I have to produce an ID if I am not driving a vehicle, or if a police officer requested and I'm a passenger, or there's no probable cause?
Well, if there's no probable cause, then the law enforcement officer does not have the right to stop you because of the Fourth Amendment. There has to be probable cause that a crime has been committed or that a crime is in the process of being committed before a law enforcement officer can stop you. So whether you're driving in a car or walking down the street, if there's no probable cause, then the law enforcement officer, then it's illegal for that person to stop you.
Do you actually have to produce an ID if you're not operating a vehicle or if you're a passenger?
Generally, no. Now, there are situations where there are authorized roadblocks if they're looking for a criminal where they're stopping everyone. But they can't single you out individually because they don't like the way you look. Okay, if there's a roadblock, then they have to stop everybody.
I think the main gist here is probable cause. If an officer has probable cause, you will produce an ID. But if he doesn't, like you get pulled over and you ask an officer, officer, why am I being pulled over? And he doesn't give you a reason. You say, what probable cause do you have? And he hasn't figured out what to give you yet, then you don't have to produce an ID. Or if you're a passenger, you don't have to produce an ID. Or if you're walking down the street and there's no probable cause, you don't have to produce IDs. You do not have to cooperate with the police. Now, understand in real life that this is really going to irritate a cop and they're probably going to get very angry with you and do whatever they want anyway. They have this system where a lot of times they won't give you a reason until after they search a car and look around and you've been stuffed in a cop car, and then you pull out of the station and then they come up with a reason why they arrested you. So, you know, that's a real breach of your rights to come up with a reason after the fact. Hopefully you've got everything on film. If you watch the first part, you should be filming any encounter you have to protect your rights. Now, the second part of this is going to be, if you do get pulled over and you do not want the police to search your car, what rights do you have? Can you refuse to consent to a search? And when are they allowed warrantless searches?
Counselor, can you refuse consent to have your car searched here in Georgia if I'm pulled over at a traffic stop? And explain to me what, how they justify warrantless searches.
Okay, well, it goes back to the Fourth Amendment. First of all, there has to be probable cause to stop a vehicle, for example, and to search that vehicle pursuant to the probable cause. The police can't just stop you and search your vehicle without any cause whatsoever. The Fourth Amendment requires two things. It requires that there be probable cause to conduct a search, and it also requires that the police officer obtain a search warrant. The courts have carved out well-recognized exceptions to the requirement of a warrant. First of all, if there are so-called exigent circumstances, meaning that if the officer observes someone who is acting suspiciously or in the process of committing a crime or who has committed a crime and is leaving the scene, or the officer reasonably believes that that person has committed a crime, then the officer is entitled to stop and search the person incident to a lawful arrest. The other well-recognized exception is the automobile exception. Courts say that because the person who is the subject of the search can easily remove the evidence and flee the arresting officer, that the officer does not have sufficient time to go and seek a search warrant, then the officer may search the vehicle, but only pursuant to probable cause. If the officer doesn't have probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed or a traffic violation has been committed, then the officer doesn't have the right to stop you in the first place.
So if an officer pulls me over and I say, "Why are you pulling me over?" and he just won't give me a straight answer and then wants to search my vehicle, does he have to give me a reason before he can start searching? Or can he just make one up afterward?
Well, have a reason, whether he, and legally he should be, he should give you the reason why he's stopping you. The question is, do you have the right to refuse the consent to search the vehicle? You do not have the right to refuse consent if there is probable cause to the crime, or that you're fleeing from a crime, or that you're a material witness to a crime that has just taken place.
So you can refuse consent. You need to be very clear about it. Make sure you get it on tape. You know, you do not consent to a search, and if they do it anyway without good probable cause, you'll get thrown out later, hopefully. But one thing you really need to do is live stream video. What I mean by that is if you have a cell phone, any sort of smartphone, you can load a program called QUIK, Q-I-K, and whatever you record on the cell phone goes live out to the Internet. Because with the Motorhome Diary guys, they had it on a regular camera, and the police, of course, recorded and deleted whatever was on that camera before they ever got it back. If you use QUIK, you can't delete it. It goes to the Internet, and a cop can't destroy the evidence. So make sure you do that. Also, I want to give Alan Lope a plug because he did this for free. And if you have any civil rights issues, he seems like a very decent fellow. I talk to him. I'd call him up if I get in trouble. I'm sure I will. So, anyway, this is Darren Lupo with LCL Report.
Everybody got that?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, here's another one. This one's going to be, can you legally film a cop or a TSA agent? Also, can you film your own trial?
Without consent in public, or private? I mean, what's the difference?
Okay, well, Georgia has a statute that person to record a conversation with another person without the other person's consent, so long as the person who's recording is a party to the conversation. So in other words, I can record a telephone conversation that I have with you without your knowledge or consent, so long as I am a participant in the conversation. As far as videotaping, it is unlawful to videotape another person without that person's consent from a private place. What does that mean? Well, that means that, for example, I can't come into your home and videotape you, obviously, or look into your window from outside to come onto your property. But law does not address police officer public domain. Statute restricts you from videotaping from a private place, but it does not restrict you from videotaping from a public place, like the streets, common areas, or even an airport.
We also talked for a little while about the case of Stephen Bierfeldt. He was the Campaign for Liberty guy that got stopped in the airport and harassed by the TSA, and he recorded it all without the TSA's knowledge on the cell phone. I asked if he could do the same at Atlanta Hartsfield, and after some discussion, it was the same thing. It was a public place. You don't need their consent to record the TSA, and you can even videotape them, but he did warn that you'll probably get roughed up if you try it. So, yes, you can tape it and to protect your civil liberties. After some more lengthy discussion, he basically told me he could not find one case where someone has recorded a police officer from their car. Now, he fully expects that is not considered a private area, that, you know, you're being stopped on a public area. So he believes that you can film a police officer when you get pulled over. Speaking of recording, I wanted to ask him about the case with Sam Dodson, where he was being arrested for filming in a court without the court's permission. Now, I was curious if you were allowed to film in court in Georgia to see what the comparisons were. Here's his answer.
Counselor Lowe, in Georgia, am I allowed to bring a videotape into a court and take my own trial?
Okay. It depends on what court. First of all, under the federal system, the rule here in the Southern District of Georgia is that cameras in the courtroom are strictly prohibited. That's by their local rule. In the state system, however, cameras are permitted in the courtroom, but only with the prior consent of the trial judge, so that if someone wants to bring a camera or if the news media wants to televise a particular trial, then you must file a motion with the trial court, and there are certain regulations that are imposed by local rule. They're called Superior Court rules, Uniform Superior Court rules, where the news media is relegated to a certain area of the courtroom, and of course there are certain rules regulating decorum. It has to be quiet and unobtrusive, things like that. But as far as televise or to record, videotape certain court proceedings can be done, but it must be done with prior by filing a motion and prior consent of the trial court.
Person challenged the constitutionality of that. We could go in and test those waters, but with, I guess, the court necessarily won't respect that. Is that correct?
Well, the constitutionality of regulating the...
Yeah, correct. I mean, to go That's why I was asking if it could be challenged.
Well, I guess it could be challenged, but that would run into, it would conflict with the traditional right of the courts to impose their own rules for the regulation of their courtrooms and trials and so forth. By the way, there is a local rule that says that you can't, in the state court system, that says that you cannot videotape the jury. Other than, there is an exception that you can videotape the foreperson of the jury announcing the verdict of the jury. So to your question as to whether or not you can challenge the regulation of videotaping in the courtroom, you can challenge it, but I think it would be very difficult as long as the regulations are reasonable for the fair administration of justice. So I think it would be very difficult to succeed as long as the rules are reasonable and they're being applied reasonably by the trial court.
So that's a little more complicated, and perhaps you're the type of person that would just simply challenge the constitutionality of it, and like Sam did, and try to record anyway. I really appreciate that Mr. Lowe did this, because he's not getting paid for this. He just wanted to help out the community and clarify.
So everybody get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, well, here's one on how to invoke your rights with the police.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Trespassing?
Oh, wait, hold what you got? Permit.
For what, sir?
What's on your side?
For what?
What's on your side?
That is a handgun. That is a pistol.
No, I'm saying permit.
What permit?
How do you?
What permit? What permit?
Come in, let me call you.
I'm right here. My hand is out of my pocket. What kind of identification?
I'm going to see you
Am I operating a motor vehicle right now? Am I required to have any identification?
You're in a hangar, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Look, state law. Yes, sir. I need to see identification.
There is no state law that says that.
Let me see identification.
You are mistaken.
How old are you?
You are mistaken.
Let me see.
What's the nature of your inquiry?
I will see your identification.
What's the nature of the inquiry?
I will see how old you are carrying a weapon out here. How old are you?
Do you have any reason? Or are you investigating me right now? Am I being detained? Am I being detained? Am I being detained right now? Am I being detained? Am I being detained? Am I under arrest or am I being detained? Am I under arrest or being detained? I'm recording it, and this is going live to the internet right now, so there is a record of it.
Basically, what's going on is this guy chased him, and then he turned around and walked away, and the guy chased him out to the street, and he pulled out his cell phone. He walked across the other side of the street, and he's calling somebody to get help.
When I saw him get in the car, I got out. This is going a lot of internet, so they try to, you know, take the phone or anything. It's already a record of it.
It's not illegal to hold a handgun.
No, it's not. Exactly. He has for a driver's license. That's something issued by the Department of Motor Vehicles. I'm not operating a motor vehicle, so I don't need a driver's license right now.
What's going on, bro? One thing that's not so damn deep. You know what my biggest problem is right now? Well, as far as, is that where you're coming from?
By the way, who's protesting? Is anybody protesting? Are we protesting or are we peaceably assembling? Okay.
For the troops, but yeah, if you don't know how
place.
To do it, you're gonna get jammed up.
Unfortunately, that's what happens on a daily basis. You know.
Where does it look?
Yes. Here's another one. Just some so you guys know about it. I got this one today. Military checkpoints in the USA. Taking a minute to load, but basically, if you don't know, you're gonna get jammed.
Well, you know, exactly. And that's where, you know, go back to what Real said in regards to, you know, the ignorance of not having the knowledge. You know, here somebody thinks they could be doing the right thing, not knowing, and it's just going to jack them.
Well, that's what they look for, eh? It's a weak point on anybody's part. And then they'll feel you, and then they'll pounce on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll toss your rights right out the door because they know that you don't know them. So you got to study, people. You got to study your laws, man.
Yeah, I mean, we got people talking about spies everywhere. And old Bill, he must be sipping on a scotch because he says his were described as crabbed once.
Yeah, good one.
Well, JC from the East Coast there, he had a good one too. In his underwear.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But yeah, I'm gonna play this one song. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
Store all the kids look at me. like the thought I was Santa Claus. And your mama don't like to throw the turn around. Mama, she be a dirty look. She thinks I'm just a greasy rebel without a cause. But it's fear that mostly makes them people put us down. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. That's right. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit.
LCL report is looking.
Faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. In the restaurant, the maitre d' gets nervous cause I ain't got on a tie. Never thought a hairy ass biker would drink French wine. I just finish off the steak and I have a glass of brandy and a slice of apple pie. Then I leave the biggest tip that the waiter's seen all night. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you.
Like
business. Baby girl wanna ride, but you think I'm a threat? Cause I got tattoos on my arm and neck. Fist fight the chin check just to earn respect. I'm that 1% that don't give a shit. Say I represent the bad community, but what I represent ain't nothing but unity. So 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent the 1% that's nothing but hood.
A couple, we gained a couple.
Usually happens.
Mhm. So yeah, it's just like, you know, the Posse Comitatus Act is the United States federal law, section or 18 USC Code section 1385. It was passed on June 18, 1888, after the end of Reconstruction, with the intention, in concert with the Insurrection Act of 1807. Substantially limiting the powers of the federal government to use the military for law enforcement. The act prohibits most members of the federal uniformed services today, the Army, Air Force, and the state National Guard forces, which, when such are called into federal service for exercising nominally state law enforcement, police, or peace officer powers to maintain law and order on non-federal property, states, and their counties and municipal divisions. Within the United States, the statute generally prohibits federal military personnel and units of the National Guard under federal authority from acting in a law enforcement capacity with the United States, except where expressly
authorized by the Constitution and the Congress. The Coast Guard is exempt from the act during peacetime.
Yep.
It's interesting.
So, I don't know. It's getting fucked.
Yeah. More than what people think or even want to think.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you try to tell somebody, they just look at you like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, everything is fine, hunky-dory, the law is all good, and nobody's doing anything, and you know, some people don't want to be educated, so those are the ones, you know, leave alone. They'll figure it out on their own.
Yeah, those are the ones that bend over once, they're going to bend over twice.
But that's usually the ones that like to bend over.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you know, you can only take a horse to water so many times.
Exactly, you know. We all know the old saying, you know, but like I said, it's just amazing. It amazes me to, you know, there's so many things coming to this show, not in regards to today, but in the beginning where there were things I didn't know, not because I didn't want to know. It was just because not having the knowledge of not being in trouble of any kind to see on my own, you know, how it actually works. And some things I did, but it didn't pertain to breaking the law. It wasn't pertaining to how people broke the law and trying to stop it, and how they came at me. And it was just like, are you kidding me? Okay. You know, so we know it doesn't work.
Right.
Even though they want us to believe that. We know it doesn't.
No.
And they go at all different ways to, you know, manipulate and show different when it's not true at all.
That's very true. It's very true. I mean, you know, we got people saying they wish to run a left coast. We got people saying come to the middle. We got somebody
right.
That says they got magic sugar cookies.
Well, old Bill is drinking, so he wants to go left, and I said, well, come to the middle.
Oh, he wishes he was on the left coast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which would put him where you're at. But in the middle is here.
Right.
I think he needs to make up his mind where he wants to go.
I don't know. Let me find out. 336.
Hey.
What's up, man?
I warned you I was drunk.
Oh, no worries.
It's okay.
I'm just, you know, I was under the impression, I'm sorry I didn't realize you were in the middle of the country. Maybe when I make the left coast trip, we'll stop off and visit.
That's okay.
I'll bring the scotch.
All right.
That's
hold
okay.
On.
I don't drink, but I'll, you know, enjoy watching you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you will or not. That's a pretty horrible sight.
I've been around quite
now.
A few that I just
okay.
Laugh at, so you're fine.
All
you're
right.
Good.
All right. Just checking.
So,
okay.
So. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing much. I just called up to just say hey, mainly.
Oh, okay.
I've not got any burning issues or anything tonight. I'm just enjoying listening. It was pretty cool listening to how to handle the invoking your rights for the police. That was very interesting. I do mark down all the web addresses so I can go read the things and watch the videos later.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, it's the best thing to do. You know, we're just here to help.
Very
yeah.
Educational, yeah.
What I was going
to say was, like, when, if you go on I read a daily blog, and we're getting over 50,000 hits a day now.
Cool.
So I must be doing,
don't
must
mind
be
the
doing,
pictures in there.
Yeah, so I must be doing something right.
What's
but,
the address on that? Is that
it? I'm going to put it in the chat room right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
He'll put the link on there so that way you can just click on it and save it in your favorites. So
oh,
then that
it.
Way you can always go back to it, you know.
Yeah,
And if you go there and check it out and you sign in, and you can send me a message, and I'll approve you for access.
Outstanding. Yeah, I'd really appreciate that. I'm kind of
yeah,
a card. I was locked up the whole time the internet was developing, so this is all kind of new to me.
Uh-huh.
It's okay.
It's okay. Let me grab the center call. Hold stay on the line.
All right, go ahead.
514.
Hi.
Hi.
How's everybody?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay, we got old Bill, me, and Nora, and you are?
Kitty Cat.
Kitty Cat. No sex today. Welcome in, Bill.
You guys are going to have Art start in a minute here.
That's okay. He missed the show Thursday when we were all commando. We're going to catch him up on it.
Okay. So let me ask you guys. Now, if you put in that situation, would you use what you've heard? Would you try and test it?
I would have to, yeah.
Okay.
I would. I don't know how far it would get me, but, you know, I've been run before, and they really don't bother me because of me being ran before. So I don't know if I could test the waters without them probably laughing at me. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got a guy here that likes to test the waters. Let me see if I can find him here real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, right here. This guy tries to test the waters daily.
Why you bother, Lena? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. You just stand by the goddamn window with that fucking AK all day. You don't work, you don't fuck, you don't eat, you don't know goddamn.
Poor guy.
Ronnie, you want some of this? Okay. I got my buddy in here listening to the show tonight, too. He's never heard it before, so it was worked out.
That's
good.
Okay. The more the merrier.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because, like, well, like what John says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Well, who's got a burning desire? Anything that they heard, they want to talk about? Anything, any questions?
I can't think of anything right offhand, except I do want to learn more about invoking your rights. Around here, you know, what we were always told is, especially in the case where you have to use a firearm, which happens in my neck of the woods pretty often, and the cops come and just say, you know, I was in fear for my life, I want a lawyer, and you don't say nothing else. That was the best advice that I got. That seems to work okay, at least in North Carolina. I know California's a whole different head.
Well, here. Since you did that, let me get into this one here. Let's see. Okay. You had to threaten an assailant with a drawn blade. This is California now.
Okay.
You had to threaten an assailant with a drawn blade. You have two choices. Get the hell out of there as soon as possible. Go far and fast, because the odds are crooks that get chased off by an armed citizen love to file, he threatened me, complain, and bust you. Bug out. Note, if we're talking about a situation where you haven't committed a crime, and since no actual violence occurred, neither did anybody else, so fleeing the scene rules don't really apply. You also don't want the SOB to come back with reinforcements or heavy artillery. Time to go. So basically, get the hell out of there.
Right.
That's not possible, because the crooks know where you are or who you are or have your car's license plate number. Jump on 911 and report an attempted crime pronto. Which, whoever calls first, they're going to believe first. There are too many lazy cops to just believe the first complaint. Make yours first. You probably have one major advantage. Your crook will have a violent record and you won't. But if you have to actually draw blood in defense, when the cops show up, there are only three things you should say. I was in fear for my life. I'm too shaken to talk. I want a lawyer. And if there are witnesses you know of, point them out to the cops and tell them to talk to them. Like that guy Bernie Getz in New York did. He didn't do it. He was furious at the four attempted muggers, and he made an anger plain in long discussion down at the station. He ended up getting charged with murder and attempted murder, which was absolutely, after everything got evaluated and everything, was absolutely a clear-cut case of self-defense. The cops get involved. You got 24 hours. They'll give you 24 hours to settle down before you talk to them. So basically, if you're involved in lethal force, take some... Some will take advantage of your rattled state of pride to garble statements out of you. You have the right to remain silent. Like Bill says, shut up.
Yeah. Our thing here, I don't know if you guys have it out there, probably not. We have the Castle Doctrine went into effect here, where you have no duty to retreat. If you're threatened with violence, you have no duty to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
At least on your home and your property, if the guy's breaking into your car, you can shoot him from your bedroom window. That's legal here.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we should like to have that laws here.
Yeah, I should have that everywhere. It makes good sense. But we just got it. And, I mean, I don't know. I know California's a lot different. I have some family out there in the Santa Ana area. But up here, I mean, you know, it's anybody can pretty much walk into a gun store, pick up an assault rifle, walk out. And at gun shows, it's just ridiculous here. I mean, you can buy anything you want. It doesn't matter. You know, a lot of guys, especially the private dealers, that are not licensed gun dealers, just individuals. You can dispose of your private property any way you want. So there's guys that, I mean, you can go in and buy anything you want pretty much. I imagine it's going to change in the not-too-distant future. There's,
right.
I mean, you can go up and buy an AK and a 100-round double-drum magazine, you know, and come out for under $1,000 in North Carolina.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
There's a little palm shop.
I think the whole United States should become North Carolina.
Well, you know, it's
it sounds good to me.
well, you know, there's some things that aren't so great about that, too. I mean, you can get busted with an AK and 100-round drum. If you ain't got a record, you're good to go. But, you know, don't get caught with a joint. So everything's different everywhere.
Right.
That's true.
Well,
that's
if I get caught with a joint, I'm okay.
Yeah, well, me too, because they're not going to get it. That's going to pry my jaws apart. Anyway, I guess it's all a trade-off. And it sucks,
you know,
it has to be that way.
Well, I'd rather
have
the gun.
But what can you do?
So here, if somebody breaks in your house, your dog attacks them, they can sue. You know, you'll have to get your dog put down. So,
If anybody breaks in my house, my dog attacks them, they're not going to be suing anybody. They're going to be dead. I've got a pit bull Rottweiler mix. He is huge and mean. If he doesn't know you, that'd be a real bad move. And then if he doesn't get you, I got a black and tan coonhound that'll hunt you down so I can get you. So I'm covered either way.
Right. Oh, I have a coonhound too.
I love excellent dogs. You
oh,
got
yeah.
a very.
But yeah, like I was talking about my blog. There's all kinds of good information on there, you know. And if you want to get caught up, and basically there's a lot of stuff in there where it'll give you the links to go to your state.
That's excellent. That's a good resource to have.
Canada on there?
Yeah, Canada is on there.
Yes.
I want to tell you this before I forget, because I'm subject to drinking. You talked last week about buying American products, and there's a website out called America Now, and a guy has compiled a list of solely American products, and you can go there and find everything that's actually made in this country that you can buy. And not the obvious stuff, but other things. And it's
There's the guy in Iowa. He went to the bank and he laid it out, and they gave him the loan to build 27 houses. He bought all the materials in the United States and saved $70,000 per house because he bought everything in the United States.
Absolutely.
That's
people
man
don't realize that some American products are at a bargain. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut anybody off.
No, that's okay.
There are a lot of
things. I was the one that cut your nose. I apologize.
Oh, okay. All right. Wait a minute.
The bank
but like I said, that link is a wonderful thing of information there, because nobody realizes how much things that used to be made in America are not.
Well, you know,
trying
you can't,
to find it is hard.
You can't buy any electronics made in this country anymore that I know of.
No.
But it's
hard to find anything that's either made in Canada or it's always made somewhere else, China, Indonesia.
Well, I'm going
to
tell
you have to shop around if you really want to find something that's actually made where you are.
Well, I got one for you guys. Check this out. I'm going to put the link in there right now. But Massachusetts, they have businesses that are testing facial recognition software to learn about their customers. But I hate to tell you that they've been doing that for a little over 10 years now, and just it's coming out now where they're using it in the stores to check what you do and what you buy. Excuse they're using.
Okay.
That's a scary thought.
Well, here, let me read it to you. Whether it's at the tolls or the ATM, your picture gets taken a lot these days and you don't even realize it. New applications for facial recognition are taking this trend to a new level, and that rising concerns about privacy. Your ID might not be the only thing the bar checks. A growing number of night spots are using typical face recognition software. There's a guy at CNET. It's helpful to businesses who want to know who their customers are. Yeah, well, I believe that one. Some malls are also testing new technology. They recognize your age, your gender, so if you walk up to a display wall, a retail establishment or a mall or mall window dressing or something like that, and you're your mid-40s guy, maybe they'll give you an ad for a BMW. It could also just be a matter of time before stores start using technology. It only recognizes your habits, but you're also your tracks your spending. So you walk in your store, it might know who you are just when you walk in and give you the deals based on your last purchases. The trend raises privacy concerns with the Federal Trade Commission. The spokesman, Mr. Mark Eichhorn, cited a recent study at Carnegie Mellon University. They took photos from a dating site where people are anonymous or using pseudonyms, and they also get information from a social networking site where they are having general people's real names. Using facial recognition technology, they were able to identify a lot of those users who were anonymous on dating sites. Some uses that sound innocent and are a tool for businesses to expand. What's being used right now are apps that will look at business, say a bar, and see how many men versus women there are or their ages, so you can see what the scene will be like. But Mr. Needleman says, worries the technology can be taken too far. It's now the question that 10 years from now, we'll walk down the street and people will be wearing camouflage that are not picked up by facial recognition trackers all over the place. Good news for you. They got them out. They're already using them.
Yeah, at ATMs and a lot of your credit cards, you know.
ATMs in Boston, they got them down in Boston. They got them all over in Boston. They got them all over in New York. Those little cameras you see hanging up there by the stoplights, they're using those too.
Yep.
I've noticed that a lot when I go into the city. Because we live way out in the country. I mean, our nearest neighbors are good ways. And when we go into Winston-Salem or Raleigh or Durham or so, there's just cameras everywhere. And I'm just not used to that.
Yeah, that's how it is here.
It's ridiculous. You can be pretty much standing anywhere in the downtown area, and you're on a camera from somewhere.
Yeah, see, first they were installed as a red light enforcement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they use them for other things besides the red light violations.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we have those here in Canada, too, the red lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here in California.
On the highways and stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing that's funny. They stopped in a lot of states using the tickets from red light cameras, but they still got the cameras. They're not going away. I've never seen them take one down after it goes up, ever.
No, I've
seen some with bullet holes in them, but no.
Now, Edgar Winter did a song a couple of years ago about that. You know, it is true. They're watching you from space, and, I mean, there's just no privacy anymore. You have to be really slick to actually have privacy. Anytime you walk out of your house, dress up, because you're probably on TV somewhere.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. They're in the chat room right now listening.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yet. I don't doubt that at all.
About 6 weeks ago, the FBI gave a company in Roanoke, Virginia, $945,527 to listen to their internet radio shows and give them testimony or evidence on the shows.
Yeah, I saw a video on YouTube not long ago. Some congressman, I think it might have been Ron Paul or somebody, talking about the government paying private citizens to spy on other citizens, and it just sounds so much like Nazi Germany. It's just crazy. You know, they actually get, you know, info from the government that other people are not privy to in return for spying on their fellow citizens.
Yeah, because like right now in Boise, Idaho, what they did was they Idaho caused the seizure of protesters' property. So the people that were doing the Occupy downtown on November 5th, 50 Boise residents began pitching tents on lands in front of the city's old county courthouse in view of the Idaho State House. Members of Occupy Boys said in their federal complaint that they erected the tent city because conventional methods such as marches, rallies, and public meetings did not appear as effective as the Occupy Vigil encampments that were taking place throughout the world. So what happened when in reaction to the complaint, Idaho House Assistant Majority Leader Scott Beteke introduced a bill on January 18th to prohibit camping on state land, authorized government agents and contractors to take and destroy private property without notice or hearing. So they came up with a House Bill 404, which was passed on law on February 17th. It gives the authorities the right to disperse the protesters and seize their possessions. So 404 states, in part, state agency personnel or contractors may remove unauthorized personal property used to camp or while camping in violation of the provisions of this section. Personal property removed pursuant to this section shall be considered litter and should be disposed of by persons tasked with enforcing this section. So basically what it comes down to is it's their on-site property was about $10,000. The bill claims that it violates the 1st, 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendments that permits unreasonable search and seizure of private property without a warrant, probable cause, or suspicion of a crime. Authorizing the seizure of the property without just compensation violates the protection against taking of private property guaranteed by the 5th Amendment and 14th Amendment of the United States. Defendants can also take and destroy private property without any opportunity for a hearing, either before or after the government seizure and destruction. The complete lack of any hearing to protect private property violates the prejudicial due process guaranteed by the Due Process Clause of the... That's on the blog, and the law doc is there. Posted, and the data was posted for tomorrow.
Well, one thing I've known for a long time is anything the government really wants to do, they're going to do, and there's not much you can do about it. So that's why I don't worry. You know, I know that people listen to radio shows, people listen to phone conversations, and I just don't care because if they want you, they're going to get you. They'll find something. You know,
exactly.
So I don't worry about that anymore.
Exactly. The other thing is, like, what I was talking about was they can do what they want. And if you, like I said, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Absolutely.
I'm not adversarial against anybody. I just want to be left with my choice and to live the way I like to live.
That's the bottom line there. You know, I just wish that, well, wishing doesn't do any good, but, I mean, it would be nice if we could just be left alone to live our lives.
Exactly.
But that's not going to happen.
Well, shouldn't it be live and let live?
Yeah, I agree, but that's the days of that are long gone.
Right.
And the society I see for the future is bleak, and that's why I store up food and ammunition and stuff, because you just never know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Oh, and they came out with that other act that if you have more than 2 weeks' worth of food in your house, you're a terrorist. If you have waterproof ammunition, you're a terrorist.
They have to find it first. And that's the only advantage we've got at this point in time, and that's going to change.
Well,
I have a friend that's in the military
now. That's crazy, though.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I have several.
Because everybody, I mean, how many people, you know, don't store food for a week? They store it for 2 or 3 weeks, even a month at a time.
Right.
Or longer.
And that's what we were talking about last week, if you remember.
And now because
you do
that, you're going to be a terrorist.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, I do food shopping once a month.
On one hand, the national preparedness guys are saying, okay, you need to store up some stuff in case of a disaster, and then when you do that, you can be arrested as a terrorist.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean...
One hand doesn't know what the other one's doing.
It's fuzzy politics. I just don't understand it, and I'm not even trying to anymore.
Well, you know, speaking of politics, I got something for you that came out today. It's called the biker tax break. All right. I don't want anybody to laugh until I'm done reading this.
Okay.
I'm going to put the link. No, I'm going to wait and put the link in there. But this must apply to men and women equally. Well-deserved $250 annual tax deduction for every mustached American for expenditures on mustache grooming supplies. The American Mustache earlier today made this surprising announcement. After brainstorming the nation's capital in support of proposed Stash Act, details in white paper here, the Office of SICK, Maryland's 6th District U.S. Representative Roscoe Bartlett informed the American Mustache Institute that begun the process of ensuring the Stash Act becomes law by passing the proposal to the House Ways and Means Committee for study, an essential first step for tax legislation. The surprising thing is not that a congressman, Representative Bartlett, a Republican, would support the creation of another tax loophole. The Stash Act, stimulus to allow for critical hair expenditures, aims to earn a well-deserved $250 tax deduction for every mustache American for expenditures in mustache grooming supplies, the website reads. Instead, it was odd that Bartlett would even participate in what clearly seems to be an elaborate parody of Washington, D.C., think tanks and advocacy groups in Congress. The group is, after all, holding a rally on Capitol Hill on April 1st. So I called Bartlett's office to see if something so silly could possibly be real. Sure enough, it is. But there's a wrinkle. Congressman Bartlett was never aware that the bill had been referred to the committee in his name. Congressman Bartlett has referred their proposal to the House Ways and Means Committee without commenting on the merit of the bill. Lisa Wright, Bartlett's press secretary, told me. The House Ways and Means Committee, Wright explained, has the jurisdiction since the Stash Act is a tax bill. Wright was then asked that since Bartlett referred the bill with comment, would she be able to comment on her boss's opinion of the proposed legislation? Congressman Bartlett merely referred it without recommendation, Wright told me after a big pause. Indeed, Wright conceded when asked whether it's a waste of the congressman's time to be toying with legislative stunts like this one, that Bartlett actually knew nothing about the bill was supposedly had referred to the House Ways and Means Committee. I did not raise it with him, Wright admitted. It actually is a staff referral. I did it. I referred it. When asked whether Congressman Bartlett knew about the referral, she sheepishly said, I don't think I told him yet. This sort of action, say staffers on the Hill, is almost unheard of unless there's some real short of special relationship between the staffer and the boss, which doesn't sound like there's one in this case, the House senior aide said. So I'll put that link up there. It's not bullshit. It's a true story.
That is hilarious.
Wow.
Here's the link right there.
Jeez.
So, anybody else got a burning desire while I go down my list here?
Yeah, I think I'm going to grow a mustache.
Shit, I'm going to let mine grow.
Yeah, I'm letting mine grow.
Yeah, now since that pertains to men, what about some women that have them?
It said yeah. both equally.
Okay.
Well, shit, I'm going to start growing one then.
I know those guys that are still on that low T medication are glad to hear that.
And or.
I'm sure they are.
And what?
Oh, shit.
Can't hear him either.
No, a lot of testosterone now.
Oh, Lord.
Well, you know, it's just right now, I don't know if you guys know that they okayed it for the drones to fly with an eye on the U.S. public.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of research in that since you talked about it last week. That's a very interesting subject.
Because they say flying the drones for commercial purposes, the police said, violated federal aviation rules. So this guy said he was paying the bills. Basically what he was doing was filming houses and all kinds of stuff up in Northern California from me. And he said he'll still get back to his career because they came out with a new federal law signed by the president on Tuesday of last week. It tells the Federal Aviation Administration to allow drones to be used for all sorts of commercial endeavors, from tilling real estate and dusting crops to monitoring oil spills and wildlife, even shooting Hollywood films. Local police and emergency services will also be freer to send up their own drones. But basically, they got some as small as a bottle cap. They're like flies with a little camera.
Jeez.
But as all the privacy laws stand today, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy while out in public, nor almost anywhere visible from public vantage.
Hmm. Well, I guess
Center for Internet
and Society, canopy here.
Yeah. So the Center for Internet and Society at Stanford University. I don't think this doctrine makes sense. I don't think the widespread availability of drones will drive home why to lawmakers and courts and the public. Some questions likely to come up: can a drone flying over a house pick up the heat from a lamp used to grow marijuana inside, or take pictures from outside someone's third floor fire escape? Can images be taken from a drone be sold to a third party, and how long can they be kept? Drone proponents say the privacy concerns are overblown. The chief deputy of the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department in Conroe, Texas, Houston, whose agency purchased a drone for use for various law enforcement operations, is misworried about surveillance, saying everywhere can be photographed with cell phone cameras anyway. We don't spy on people, he said. We worry about criminal elements. Still, the American Civil Liberties Union and advocacy groups are calling for new protections against what the ACLU has said to contain routine aerial surveillance of American life. The language, which was inserted to a broader funding bill for the FAA, came after intense lobbying by drone makers and potential customers. because right now they have one that's called the Global Hawk, and they're facing cuts from their opposition. This drone maker employs 4,500 people at locations throughout San Diego. But President Obama's recently proposed budget reduces funding to $12.4 billion Global Hawk drone program. Last month, the Air Force said it would cancel remaining orders for the Block 30 version of the drone. Four versions, including the Block 10 and Block 20, only the Block 30 and Block 40 are still in production. The later versions can carry more sensors. So they got rid of the older ones, and they produced some other ones. This one here looks about the size of a car. They can hover, they can shoot film. Crazy. But
yeah.
He saved $12.4 billion. And this has been going on for 10 years. So they've been spending $12.4 billion for the last 10 years.
Wow.
We got
veterans.
People
wonder why we're broke.
Yeah, we got veterans and homeless people living on the street.
They're putting money in the wrong places, for sure.
But yeah, we're not broke.
Yeah.
You know, that's the hardest thing that people aren't realizing. You know, I mean, here in this state, for the summit meeting that's taking place here in May, the mayor spent $165 million just on new riot headgear.
Well, let me tell you this. The Air Force
said
that...
But our state is broke.
Well, they're all broke, but let me tell you this. The Air Force said the Global Hawk Block 30, which runs about $218 million each, cost too much. Last month, it proposed replacing the drone with an expanded use of the variable U-2 spy plane, which began operation 6 decades ago. So it's cheaper to use the U-2 spy plane than it is one of these drones.
Right.
They won't use it.
No, they're going to use it because it's cheaper to operate, gets the same information and or better. The Air Force wants to go back to it. But the Global Hawk program is to provide 55 drones over its lifetime. Those include 13 Block 10 and 20s, 31 Block 30, and 11 Block 40. The Block 10 and Block 20 orders were completed. The Block 30 orders, 14 have been already delivered, 4 are in production, and 3 have been funded. At least 10 Block 30 drones unfunded. But they're not going to fund them.
I'm just wondering when the first case is going to come up where somebody shoots one out of the sky.
They're
going to be charged with.
Doing that in Iraq and Afghanistan for a while now.
Yeah, I'm talking about domestically. That'll be something.
They do have them here domestically. Well, the drones, anyways.
I've been to some functions where they've been flying overhead. Trust me, they're there.
Yeah.
I wonder what they charge you with if you ever shot one out of the sky.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Destruction of government property or something, probably.
They'd have to catch
you.
They'd have to catch you.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder, do these things just record video and audio, or do they transmit it? I imagine they transmit it to a base.
They do everything that cameras and helicopters do.
Okay, Ronnie.
It is complete surveillance, you know.
Holy crap.
That's
so
crazy.
I mean, say if you wanted to go to a swap meet, okay? You're at a swap meet, and they're there. And they know, they have your picture, and they will run you and know who you are.
Just like they had the Del Mar gun show not too long ago. They had one flying around inside the hall, taking pictures of people buying guns and ammo.
Wow. I would feel very invaded.
Well, but now you have to understand the other part of the surveillance. which we've talked about numerous times on the show here, in digital life that we have right now. If you have, of course, everybody has cable, satellite, your box can be off. They can still transmit, and they can surveillance you through your cable box.
Yep.
The
yeah,
only way
eyes,
to protect
eyes,
yourself from that
yeah, my
is to
God, I don't watch TV.
Well, the only way you can, you know, stop that is if you were to unconnect your box when you're not using it.
Right,
and
because
then connect
it's also
it back.
I don't have a cable box. I don't watch TV.
Well,
no,
that little,
but I
that
mean,
little,
if you
that
did,
little,
you know.
That little eye that works off your remote works both ways, as well as it picks
right.
up the...
So,
like so north
say,
side
if you're,
is,
say if you're, you got a cable box in your bedroom, but you're, you know, in the next room, say in your kitchen, and you're sitting there having dinner, family talk, whatever you talk about, they know it. They hear you.
Well, one thing I can tell you is a good way to avoid being eavesdropped on is to invest in a good aluminum storage building. And, you know, usually keep an eye on it so nobody gets a chance to plant anything in there. Because as far as I know, that's impenetrable from the air.
Well, I sit here and sometimes I have to put on my tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you should see what it looks like with one, too. It's very, it's, yeah, it's interesting.
You know, because
you,
these
you just
take...
call him a cone head.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry.
Take pictures by day and sense heat by night. And they cost about $300,000, which is a fraction of the cost of a helicopter. The SWAT team, they use them for reconnaissance or to manage road traffic after a big accident, or if there's a gathering of any club, they're flying overhead, as well as the guys in the parking lot taking the license plate numbers.
Yep.
They're using the facial recognition on those things, and what they do, they're hooked up to the computer in the van or the SWAT van or whatever it is located near that, and they're running the facial recognition. So when you leave, you got a warrant, you get pounced on.
A funny story pertaining to that, many years ago, I was visiting family in New Jersey and kind of stumbled into a mob funeral. And, I mean, there were more cameras and guys snapping pictures and black fans on the street than I could count.
Oh, yeah.
So I know
that,
how
that
must
normal.
Be.
Right, that's normal because I've seen them here. You know, that's what Illinois
crazy.
Is known for. Well, Chicago.
Yeah. So they were doing that when I was a kid, and I lived there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Well, you were still here when Daley died, and of course, cameras were crazy. And you know, I don't want to list a name of you know. Who else was buried there that, you know, cameras were everywhere. It was crazy.
Hey,
so
can
privacy
I,
has been gone.
But
can I pay respects to a fallen brother while I'm on the radio?
Yes, you can.
I read today on a support site that the oldest member of 81MC passed away today. And that's just kind of sad, and I'd like to express my respect and regrets to the family.
That'll be appreciated because they listen to the show all over the world.
Yep.
And we're down to the last few minutes. So since you did that and that happened today, I was going to close out the show, and I think I'll play this song now. But I would like everybody to come back Thursday. I'm going to load this up. I'm not gonna play it right now, but I'll play it in the end. But I want to thank everybody for calling in and participating. And don't be afraid to send me an email. And if you got a topic or something you want to talk about, we'll hit the keys and get the info, and we'll share it with everybody.
Outstanding.
Right. So don't be a stranger, even though you're in the Carolinas. Even if you don't call in, still be here. You know.
Well, I listen every week, and I've got a few friends that are not comfortable with being on the Internet, but they come over and listen, too.
That's good. Like I said, you know, it's understandable, you know. But as long as they can hear, you know, all you got to do is, Phil posted up the phone number in the chat, you know, so if you can still see the chat box, scroll up, and you'll see the number, just write it down. They can even call. They don't even have to talk. They can call, you know, and just hear the show that way as well.
Right.
And that way they're not dealing with the internet.
No, and if they're listening, I'll answer, and I'll ask them, do they want to participate or do they just want to listen? And
right.
I'll leave them unmuted. If they got anything to say, chime in.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
We have plenty of room for everybody.
You hear that, Ron? Okay.
But what I want to do is this one's called Forever Angel by Axel Rudy Pell, and I'll talk to all you guys Thursday.
Outstanding.
Great night.
Oh, thank you.
Have a great night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Night, everybody.
Night.
Night.